Monday, October 3rd, 2022 was a big, big day in American history. A day on which millions of people achieved a milestone in their journey when they finally realized a dream that once seemed impossible but is now a blissful reality. Moses and the Israelites wandered the desert for 40 years searching for the promised land. But Americans have been waiting even longer than that, since 1979, for their promised reward. At long last, the life-sustaining manna is here, not from heaven, but from the Golden Arches. Happy meals for adults, including a surprise toy. Might be that masked rascal, the Hamburglar, or it could be the garrulous Grimace, Bodacious Birdie, or a new little friend, Cactus Plant Flea Market. Whatever the fuck that is. People are driving hundreds of miles and lining up to get their hands on McDonald's latest marketing gambit, Happy Meals for Adults, and it's only 10 bucks a pop. Why, the toy is worth more than that alone. Of course, not everyone feels that way about McDonald's. One pundit declared, quote, "Creation of a Happy Meal for Adults is the logical endpoint of American culture." Is that true? We'll find out. And what about those hundreds of headless goats floating around a camping area in Georgia? Come on, put on your hazmat suit and take a deep dive with me into America.
The Safari Park.
You're killing me, Larry!
Larry. Fucking Larry.
Larry from That Larry Show.
For men with balls.
Take off your pants.
Larry, get into bed now.
Larry.
Larry. Larry.
Been jealous of your kid's Happy Meal, or maybe you're nostalgic for the days of getting a toy with your food? Adults can now get in on the fun at McDonald's for a limited time. The adult Happy Meal comes with a Big Mac or 10-piece chicken nuggets, fries, and a drink. The toy inside features famous McDonald's mascots, including the Grimace and Hamburglar. The Happy Meals go on sale October 3rd.
McDonald's chief marketing officer is so excited about Happy Meals for Adults, he can barely contain himself.
We're taking one of the most nostalgic McDonald's experiences.
This guy just called fast food in a box an experience. Anyone who considers a clot of greasy robot shit, face it, that's what fast food is, robot shit. Anyone who considers that an experience, well, their life has been a fucking tragedy. Then the marketing man says,
and literally repackaging it into a new way that's hyper-relevant for our adult fans.
Got it, kids. They're not just repackaging it, they're literally repackaging it. That's an achievement that ranks up there with running water and electric power. And then they do it all in a way that's not just relevant, but hyper-relevant to adults. Which adults are those? The ones walking around dressed as My Little Pony with a pacifier in their mouths? Maybe the ones having their student loans paid off by the rest of us? Maybe those adults all have special pronouns, too. Are they really adults? What they might be is a term I coined back in episode 330, Spotlight on Scum, which can be found in the October 2021 tab at thatlarryshow.com. Not that kidults are scum, it's just that they frequently vote for scum. Even as a kid, I never liked McDonald's. Their advertising was insulting, always talking down to people. When I reached adulthood, McDonald's had become even less inviting. Most of them closed by 9 or 10 p.m., and that's not very utilitarian for stoners and drunks looking for pre-dawn victuals. And if you wanted breakfast, even one thin minute after 11 a.m., tough shit. Ray Kroc was personally reprimanding you for sleeping in. By the time I could get a beer with my fake ID, I had turned my back on Mickey D's forever and signed on for a lifetime hitch with my buddy, Jack of Jack in the Box. Jack's coffee is hot. Jack's tacos are great. Jack welcomes you with breakfast or anything 24/7. Jack does not judge. This was no accident, because back in 1980, some smart suit at Jack Corporate realized there was no sense in going head-to-head with McDonald's, so they went straight after their core customers. Night-crawling kids and revelers and hipsters and shift workers and anybody else whose skin would crawl at the forced gaiety and ersatz wholesomeness of the McDonald's experience. Perhaps you've heard this hideous jingle, written and recorded by Barry Manilow. They've been staying on that message for half a century, and the message is, your life is shit. They know it's shit. So when you need a break from your soul-crushing existence, get up and get away to McDonald's glass and concrete robot shit distribution center. Yeah, the one with the plastic golden arches and hockey rink lighting. Grab an orange plastic tray and gaze into the stainless steel kitchen, where the robot shit is not made, but thawed and heated. Interface with the hollowed-out uniformed person behind the counter, or just use the touchscreen for contactless payment. But one must pay in advance for the robot shit. And that's a big red flag right there. Did you ever have to pay in advance for a meal in a real restaurant? No. Even a gas pump is pay-as-you-go. But McDonald's basically says, hey, you're probably not going to like the crap on that orange tray, but we already got your money, so fuck you, and have a nice day. McDonald's was smart enough to recognize a terrible marketing mistake and correct course. In that original jingle, the words are, so, get up and get away. Wasn't that insulting? They are implying that you're some lazy, sleep-until-noon ne'er-do-well. So get up! Get off your fat ass and get away! To ass-punishing seats and fluorescent lights. And food that's more processed than gasoline. By 1983, Mickey D had subtly but wisely changed the lyric and re-recorded the dirge with a faster tempo. Did you hear that? So get up and get away was replaced with come on in and get away. Just three little words made the difference between a scolding accusation and a friendly invitation. A Twitter poster said that the concept of adult happy meals is a, quote, perfectly powerful index of mental and moral decline, unquote. That seems accurate and in line with the kidult demographic that's kind of sort of fucking up our world. McDonald's has 4.6 million Twitter followers. Imagine that. Millions of people thumbing their phones, wondering what a $172 billion purveyor of robot shit is up to. Did it have a good day? How did it sleep last night? Any new romance on the horizon? Many of those fans also follow another major Twitter personality worthy of attention. Pepsi. Over 3 million of them are curious to know what's happening with fizzy tooth rot in a can that can quench their thirst as it speeds them on their journey to a diabetic condition. Up until this century, the age of reason was about 7 years old. Most people agreed that was about when human beings had a pretty clear idea of right and wrong, as well as fantasy and reality. Anyone from infant to age six would get a free pass for nutty behavior. Kids of that age could flip onto their backs, kick their feet and scream, and it was accepted. It was never appreciated, but accepted. That's what kids do when they get tired or hungry, at least to about age 3. 4 to 7-year-olds doing that stuff used to embarrass their parents as strangers looked at them and wondered if they had a syndrome. Kids' fantasies were also acknowledged as amusing. One of my daughters was obsessed with Disney princesses. When she was 5, she'd run around wearing a princess dress, a long purple wig, and a magic wand. Everybody thought it was cute, and it was. Had she continued that behavior much beyond age 7, we'd have gotten her a therapist. Now, middle-aged people are going around dressed as dogs and cats and llamas and bears, which is great. Who gives a shit? You be you. But isn't there a line to draw? Virgin Atlantic just launched a big ad campaign based on the You Be You concept, where flight attendants, who are bearded dudes, can wear skirts and high heels if they identify as female or if they just dig cross-dressing. They also get a lapel pin declaring their pronouns. That might make some passengers uncomfortable, so it remains to be seen what effect it will have on revenues. What's really interesting is that the airline refers to the change as their new, quote, uniform policy, unquote. Maybe Richard Branson is linguistically challenged. Isn't the purpose of a uniform to create uniformity, not to help employees get their freak on? Isn't that activity for after hours? There are uniforms everywhere. Cops, firemen, doctors, nurses, soldiers, bankers. The idea of a uniform is to minimize personal expression and instead project an appearance of competence and professionalism. Imagine a cop pulling you over in his prowl car. When he steps out, he's dressed as a furry. Who's going to take that cop seriously? In the medical profession, You Be You is really a shitty idea, because it should never be about them being them. It's about them helping you. No patient gives a damn about a doctor or nurse's sexual orientation or kinks or politics. Those things have no place in that industry, or really any industry. Some years ago, my wife needed emergency surgery. It was a very dicey situation. Her doctor had assembled a team in about an hour. As they wheeled her into the OR, they all stopped in the hallway and looked at me and I at them. It was such an odd moment. I still don't understand why it happened. About 5 of them were on one side of the gurney. Maybe they saw the terrified look on my face. It seemed we all stared at each other for 5 or 6 seconds. Maybe it was only 2 seconds, but I was so stressed out at the time that time stood still. The team looked like a poster for the United Nations. There was white, black, Asian, Latin, Indian, and Middle Eastern. Not one of them wore a purple mohawk or had a gauged earlobe or a barbell in his nose. Nobody wore a political pin or a ribbon on his or her uniform, which was scrubs. When I saw that, I breathed a sigh of relief. Those unadorned uniforms sent a silent but clear message that they were not there to express themselves. They were there to do a job. And that job was to save my wife. And when I looked into their faces, I was looking for only one thing: competence. That they knew what the hell they were doing. As it turned out, they all did. They were supremely competent. Had I Musk's money, I'd have bought every one of them a new car that very day. Happy meals for kidults are a benign symptom of a culture in decline. A more sinister one has emerged in the vicinity of Atlanta. The action is on the Chattahoochee River. Imagine yourself canoeing downstream on a warm summer afternoon. Dappled sunshine plays over your face as you lazily float along. You find yourself in an eddy and think this might be a good spot to go ashore with a picnic basket. Before you exit the boat, You scan the woods to see if there's a level patch of grass to lay down a blanket. And that's when you feel your boat bump something. You look at the water's surface. What is that? A white rock? A balloon? Hey, wait a minute. There's more than one. Then you realize it's a cluster of swollen, headless, baby goat carcasses.
Someone is dumping headless goats into the Chattahoochee River.
Channel 2's Dave Huddleston reports it could be part of a religious ceremony or something else.
We're talking hundreds of decapitated goats in the last couple of years. Not only is it dangerous for the river that many of us use for recreation, it's also the main source of drinking water for many in Metro Atlanta.
We cruised up the Chattahoochee River. We're near the Interstate 20 bridge when...
This one's been in here for a while.
We find a headless goat in the river.
This one's pretty bloated.
And then another.
Oh, there's two right there.
And another.
There's a third one. Lately, it's becoming a lot more frequent. And on Friday, we were out here, actually saw about 30 of them.
But a lot of questions remain unanswered.
Because these goats have to be coming from somewhere. But we have not been able to determine who's buying the goats, who's providing the goats, or how they're actually making their way here in the river.
The local authorities have declared some of the river a public health hazard. When those things snag at the shoreline, they're covered with flies and maggots. The cops are stumped. Some believe it's the African Caribbean religion Santeria, which they say can include animal sacrifices. But it's not just anybody doing it. They strongly suspect it's the work of drug cartels. They hack off the head of a goat, believing that will afford them protection for a successful drug deal. Imagine that. Bunch of cartel hoods prepping before a big deal. El Jefe does the checklist.
Weapons, check. Ammo, check. Body armor, check. Police scanner, check. Hey, Ortega, where's the goat? Oh, not like that. Cut his fucking head off. For luck.
Maybe the cops have it all wrong. Goat's Head Soup was not only a Rolling Stones album, it's a popular dish in Jamaica. So maybe it's just a food fad. Those come and go like crepes or fondue, keto or kombucha. Who wouldn't want a big boiled skull staring back at you from the soup tureen? Oddly, the reporter tags the story with this.
Many people treat the Chattahoochee like a dumping ground, throwing in couches, tires, flat-screen TVs. Reporting from Cobb County, Dave Huddleston, Channel 2 Action News.
How about that? He sounds more concerned about a tire or TV, as if that inorganic crap is worse than rotting flesh, which is always a vector for disease. We live in a bizarre world. Will there ever be a return to normalcy? What is normal? All the crazy people and crazy shit they do does have an upside. Those things blow up the notion of a matrix. No robots with AI could ever come up with happy meals for graybeards or headless goats in the water supply. It takes organic, human insanity for that stuff. Hey, thanks for hanging with me once again. It's always great to be with you. Stop by the show page for hundreds more episodes, as well as more content and images. It's all at thatlarryshow.com. While you're there, punch the subscribe button so you never miss a show. If you enjoyed what you just heard, shoot a link to a friend, leave a glowing review wherever you download. It helps the show grow. If you really like what you heard, hit the Patreon button. Patreon also gives you access to dozens of bonus episodes where we tend to get a little more personal and contentious. If you prefer, there's also PayPal or a post office box with a big smile on its face ready to accept cash or checks, doubloons, Krugerrands, etc. My friends, as someone said, you're never too old to be immature. If an ugly plastic toy nestled between a burger and fries in a cardboard box puts a smile on someone's face, God bless them. There are many recipes out there for goat's head soup. None of them depicted the skull in the bowl, but that would ratchet from a meal to an experience, a memorable one. Come back and hang with me again next Wednesday or thereabouts. And until that time, take no shit. Or boat rides on the Chattahoochee River.